Listen, we are continuing in this vision series and where God has us and where he's taking us over this next 5 years. And the first week after birthday, we talked about belonging and the fact that church is not just an activity for our calendar, but it is a kingdom community. It's a community where through Christ we find freedom and equality, and it's a community where everyone matters because God has placed you on purpose for a purpose. And you are you bring a unique and necessary part to the body. And so what is your part? That was the question that we asked. And we're seeing a lot of you guys answer that question, and it's great. Last week we talked about caring and what it means to be a caring community, and that being a caring community comes from who we are in Christ, because that transforms who we are in our everyday, and it also strengthens us for who we need to be on those extra days, on those super hard days. I cannot even see through my glasses, so we're just going to fix that. And this week, we're going to talk about discipling. And yes, I said with ing, discipling. And that means we got to understand first kind of what a disciple is, because that's a pretty churchy word. And so in the first century, a disciple meant someone who was a follower of a teacher or a rabbi or a philosopher. Within our church context, being a disciple specifically means, there's all kinds of definitions. The one that I think resonated most with me and I think really reflects scripture so well is that a disciple is someone who is developing in the character and confidence of Jesus while operating on mission for Jesus. And that's what it means to be a disciple. And so so if we continue to unpack that, what that means for us as a church, and if you guys can put up that one slide for me, the first Colossians slide, excuse me, next one. Yeah, here we go. So as a church, with our goal of taking Jesus to our community, because we're a bridge and we bridge the gap, and then bringing our community, which includes us, because it's a continual transformation, back to Jesus, then we have this idea in discipling, in discipleship, that he, being Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, and Paul says, we strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ so powerfully works in us. It's not on us. That's a whole lot of churchy words, but we're going to unpack it and what it really means for us as a body and what it really means for us to walk in that kind of process of discipling. And I did say ing because when we say discipleship, we think about a thing or a program, something that is stagnant, that stays. It's like this big menu of things that we get to go for our discipleship program. But see, discipling is a continuing, ongoing action. It doesn't stop. It never stops till we're in his presence. And some of us, if you come from a big evangelistic bent, right? Like we just want to Billy Graham, see everybody saved. And that is so important. That's the first step. But why isn't that enough? Why can we not just stop at salvation? Why can't we just take all the candy and bribe people into the kingdom and get them to accept Jesus for a couple of Reese's cups, right? No, it's more than that. Certainly evangelism is so much more. We have a gift that is greater than any gift that there is. But once people accept Jesus, then why don't we just stop there? Isn't that enough to be a Christian? And for that, I think we should turn to the words of Jesus. And I want to invite you to read with me Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It's really the last thing that Jesus had to share with his disciples. Would you read with me? Let's back that up a slide, Pastor Rick. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Okay, So baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The difference between a disciple that just follows a teacher and a disciple of Jesus is that discipling starts with salvation in Jesus. That is the first point of contact for us discipling people. It starts with accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and it involves being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But it doesn't stay there. Because when it stays there, if you think back to Easter, we talked about when we stay just at salvation, we stay stuck at the foot of the cross where Jesus has paid the price for our sins, but we aren't walking in the freedom of the resurrection and the empty tomb. And we want to go from salvation to abundant life because Jesus said the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but he has come that we might have life and have it to the full or have it in abundance. And so the resurrected life leads us into that with the same spirit that didn't just defeat sin on the cross, but defeated death in the empty tomb. That's the life we want to live. Amen, church?
Amen.
So Jesus goes on, right? He's like, all right, we're going to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. That's what you got to do. That's step one of discipling. But then teaching them to obey everything he has commanded. Not just gathering the people, not just singing about him, not just serving the community, that's good, but a lot of nonprofits do that. We got to be anchored in the word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says that all scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and it teaches us what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people for every good work. Let's break that down a little bit. Teaches us what is true. That's really important in our postmodern culture because culture would say that truth ebbs and flows, truth fluxes. There's nothing solid about truth, but this is true. It doesn't change. It's steadfast and it's steady. And it makes us realize, brings into our awareness what's wrong in our lives. It does not say that it beats us over the head, condemns us, shames us, guilts us. As a matter of fact, scripture is very clear that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. So if you grew up in a tradition that was all about beating you up with this, don't think of this as a hammer. Think of this as a light. We had four boys together in our house. We had our three and a foster child for a couple of years. And they all loved Legos. And that meant that it was literally dangerous to walk across the dark room barefoot in my house. Amen. Because stepping on a Lego is just... could challenge the best pastor not to say bad words in the middle of the night. There's a lot of little Lego traps, spiked Lego traps all around in our lives that are poisoning us and making us unhappy and causing all kinds of yuck. And the word doesn't beat us with a hammer about them. The word shines a light to reveal them, so that we can find healing for the things that are bringing disease into our life. It corrects and it teaches. It doesn't correct and condemn, it corrects and it teaches. And it prepares us for the good works. The good works that we talked about the first week when we talked about belonging and we're all uniquely wired to do our part in the thing that is the body of Christ in the kingdom community. And so it doesn't say prepares us to do the church works. It doesn't say that the word is here to prepare us to lead great worship and pray great prayers and write great sermons, and it stops right there. Lead great children's ministry and how to lead a small group, and that's what the word prepares us for. It does. But it prepares us for every good work. You want to know how to do good works in your business? Develop Christian character and integrity. Actually, it tells you how to handle your money. Do you know that scripture teaches us how we can charge interest to loan money in business, but when people are in need, we're not supposed to charge interest. We're supposed to meet their needs as Christian believers. Did you know that? Did you know that's in the Word? Did you know that it teaches you how to be a better husband or a wife, a better friend, a better sibling? It teaches you how to manage not only your money, but how to manage your household. It teaches you how to operate and function in work, in combat, in all the things. Every good work. If I go back to the song, your goodness is running after us, God. How many good works, how many works are we doing that are not experiencing good because we haven't brought God into that every part? We've kept it tucked away and hidden away. And when we think of discipleship as a program, instead of discipling as this ongoing thing, then we tend to think of it as a great big menu of options. It's just a menu of all the Jesus teachings. And I can thumb through the menu like I do at my favorite restaurant and figure out what I want to get today. Where do I need Jesus in my life? Maybe I want a little Jesus here, and maybe I want a little Jesus there. And oh, maybe I have a particular problem over here, so I'll grab a little Jesus for that. But that's not every good work. And that is a menu. And discipling is a process that walks us into every good work. And church, it's important that we get this, because when we only apply God's word where we want to, then we don't live an abundant life and we don't live a free life. When we only apply God's word where we want to, we tend to get very judgy and condemning of others, because here's how it works. Maybe not for you. Maybe it's never been you. We'll just own it. Is that when I have something and I want to look at God's word and I see it, if I don't like it, it's a suggestion. It's a suggestion. I might do that. I might step away and do it my way. But oh, let Shawnee tick me off. And then God's word is a law about what she needs to do to fix it. For the record, Shawnee has never in 3 years ticked me off. She is one of the kindest, gentlest people that I know in her spirit, so it was safe to pick on her. Because everybody else would have been like, why are you telling her stuff like that? When we pick and choose, that's not discipling. That's good old-fashioned American consumerism. Taking what we want, where we want, for our own gain, instead of for God's glory. We okay? So discipling isn't about consuming Jesus information. Like, we are on this quest, 24-hour news cycles. We just want all the, if I just buy more Bible studies, if I just buy more books. Some of y'all walk into my office downstairs at the house and you're like, oh my gosh, and I have to remind you that I did two master's degrees and it funded half my library. But like, it's not about how many books you can buy about Jesus or even read. It's more than that. It's more than rules or laws or behavior modification. Would you read Romans 12, 1 and 2 with me? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. A lot, if you have grown up in church or spent time in church, you may know that verse. If you haven't, it's got a lot of churchy language, but it's got a powerful life-transforming message. And so I actually am going to go to Eugene Peterson's Message version of the Bible, because what he does is he's a linguistic expert who took the Greek or the Hebrew, in this case it would be the Greek, and puts it, all the nuances, like when I share a Greek or Hebrew word with you guys and I share all these nuances that bring it to light, he does that in his translation. He just writes the English. Like if we applied all those nuances, this is what it would mean in our current language. And I want to read you Romans 12, 1 and 2 from the Message because it gives context. And I just want you to soak this in. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted in your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Discipling is not just gaining information. Discipling is transformation from the inside out. Discipling is about being transformed. I don't know about you, but that can seem overwhelming. Like, does anybody else just say, oh, God's going to transform me, change my whole life. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, no problem. No? I want to remind you, first Jesus said, surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. You on this journey, I will be with you. But there's also this Old Testament passage that I love from Deuteronomy, and they're going to put it up on the screen. I'm just going to read it to you because here's Old Testament, pre-Holy Spirit. Like it only gets better after this, pre-Holy Spirit indwelling us, not pre-Holy Spirit. Let me be specific. Now, what I am commanding to you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. So he's talking to the people and telling them to obey the commands, right? It says, it is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven and get it to proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? More information seeking. Nor is it beyond the sea so you have to ask, who will cross the sea and get it and to proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? More information seeking. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it, so you may be changed by it. You see, the living word is in our mouths and in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit that we get to have reside in us dwells in our heart to teach us and remind us of all the things. Discipling doesn't just start with Jesus. Discipling includes God all along the way. God is a part of it. We are not on our own in this, you guys. I can have the best coaching program and nutrition program in the world on a piece of paper that I try to read and follow and apply. But if I don't have the coach, if I don't have the accountability, if I don't have a starting point for someone to go, nope, that's a little off, your form's wrong there, then I don't even know I'm making a mistake. You see, God is with us, indwelling us, showing us. Jesus is there to help us along this discipling journey. Discipling includes God, but it doesn't stop with God. In the birth of the New Testament church, where thousands were coming to Jesus, where we wouldn't, I mean, I guess we would be here without them because God always has a plan, but it would have been a lot different, right? Acts 2:42 talks about the fellowship of believers. And it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Devoted to means they showed oneself courageous to. Discipling means showing yourself courageous to studying the word, to being in community. Our prayer group had their first prayer meeting Thursday night. And they prayed together and they shared together. See, God created us for that community, for that participation together. And you might ask, why is it so important? I mean, last week we talked about the number of people in our world, in our nation, who are de-churched and unchurched. They're not un-Jesused. They're not de-Jesus. They're just sick of the church. Why is it important to lean into community, to find a safe place? Why does that matter so much? I mean, look, y'all, do you really think that we just need to see you so many more times during the week? I mean, I love you, but I'm not up here calling you and discipling because I just have to see you three more times this week. It's a bonus, but that's not the reason. Y'all aren't going to give us more money because you're in a class. Some of you would pay us more money if we stopped asking you to go to a class. Let's just be honest. Like, can we up the offering and somebody else do a car for me? Right? But community matters. And it's what God teaches us. I'd like you to read with me Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. And we're going to read from the New Living Translation because I think it articulates some of the nuances of the Greek a little bit better. Tuck over here. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. See, God says we can't neglect meeting together. We have to hold tightly without wavering. Being in community matters. I want you to think of those big, giant tug-of-war ropes. Do they do that? Where are the teachers in the room? Do they still do those giant tug-of-war things? Yeah, are the ropes nicer, or do they still give you blisters and all that stuff? Okay, so you got that big tug-of-war rope, right? And it says you got to hold tightly to it. Can you imagine if there's a team on that side and it's you holding the rope all by yourself? Somebody's going face down in the mud puddle. Except it's not some other team. Because Jesus said the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is a lion seeking to devour, prowling around, waiting. And there is not the lion of Judah that's come to save, but there is a evil, devouring, prowling lion on one end of the rope. Now you're all by yourself on this end trying to hold tightly. How does that feel? But what about when you're on the rope together? What about when you got the strongest kids in the class on your side of the rope together with you? And so you take a couple of the new kids or the more petite kids. Take some of the wimpy kids that don't work out a lot, you know? And you put them with some of the really strong kids that can anchor that rope, and together they make a cohesive team so that when the lion comes or when the world is rocked, they can withstand it. I want to ask you, what are you holding on to? What in your life are you holding tightly to? And who is there to help you? It goes on to say that we motivate one another. We motivate one another to the truth, to the good things, to the every good work, right? And yes, we have friends outside the church. Churches are wrong when they tell you need to isolate. No, because God said we're to go be in the world. We're to be the salt and the light, and we're not to hide that light under. We are to be Jesus out in the community. That is what we are to do. But if your only friends are outside the church and that's where you're getting your advice, then what are they motivating you to? When you're making a financial decision or you're struggling in your marriage or you're struggling with your teenager or you're trying to figure out what job to take or not to take, or there's some sort of crisis, what is the world motivating you to do? I mean, we keep it real here. We have people of all age groups in here. Like, is the world motivating you to pray, 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 persevere, persevere? Or is the world motivating you to spend, 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 chug, 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 go, go, go? Did the pastor really just say chug, chug, chug? Yeah, I did. Because I know some of y'all, I saw some of y'all at those parties. No, I didn't go, Brian. It's fine.
At least you were invited.
I was never invited. I was the awkward person who was never invited anywhere, I have to tell you. Or how about yell, 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 protest, protest, protest? Are you being motivated to the latest movement? Or a drink? Or a crazy purchase? Or 50 shades of whatever? Are you motivated to anger and outrage? Or are you motivated to love and good works? Who is motivating you, and what are they motivating you to do? Because God says community matters, because we are to motivate one another to the good works, to be encouraged and to be strengthened. Where do you need strength in your life? Because, man, some weeks, okay, caveat, let me just say this up front. I love my husband. He is an amazing man. We have been married coming up on 25 years. Is it really that long? Wow. Sometimes we need encouraged in our marriage. Sometimes his strong leader and my strong leader try to lead in two different directions on the same project, and I need a Christian friend who's going to encourage me to do the right thing like Jesus said, instead of throwing a tantrum or thumping him in the head, right? Or stomping out. I need someone who's going to be like, Jed, humility, grace, what part did you have in this? Redhead, right? And my finances. We have people in here who have been working Dave Ramsey. We have a couple in this room that has paid off over $25,000 of debt this year. Who's motivating you on what to spend and what house to buy and what car to buy? And are they telling you to buy as much as you can with what you've got? Or are they counseling you on godly biblical finances so that you're never in bondage to the lender, but you walk in freedom in your finances? School, friends, identity, all the things, purity, dating, drugs, alcohol, marriage, all of it. If we are not in the right communities, hearing the messages that encourage us and hold us, then we will let go of the rope and fall face down in the mud. Truth is found here, and Scripture is clear that discipling requires community. So is the truth you're getting anchored in the world-shifting sand, or is the truth you're getting anchored on the Word of God in your communities? That's why community matters, and that's why discipling doesn't just start with salvation in Jesus. Yes, it includes God, but it also includes and requires community. And I don't know if you caught it, but there was a warning in the passage there. It said, do not neglect meeting together. Don't let other things crowd out your community. What are you attending to and what are you neglecting? Is your schedule so full that you cannot make time in your schedule to attend to Christian community and fellowship? How do you grow if you don't do that? How do you invite others into the same opportunities? What priorities are you setting? Because By the way, adults in the room, whether you're parents or aunties or uncles, you can tell your kids or the littles in your life what is important and Jesus is important, and you can tell them all you want about how they need to set their priorities around this, but if you don't set your priorities around this and this, founded on Jesus, we all know more is caught than taught. And when it comes time and they're like, well, Mom, you didn't, or Dad, you didn't, or Auntie, you didn't, then we have nothing else to say. But see, I don't even want this to be all about what we're not doing, because I think for way too long, Scripture and discipleship and all those things have been made about what you don't do. Don't do this and don't do that. And see, this book is really all about what you do. It's all about how you live fully. It's all about how you thrive in your life. It's all about how you walk in fullness and freedom, not in bondage to a law, but in a relationship with God and with others that lifts you up, pulls you up, and holds you up. Guys, we have to prioritize and commit as a church and as individuals to this discipling process. If we are gonna be that everyday community of believers that partners with God to ensure that each person we encounter believes they're seen, known, and loved by God, then we have to be committed to these things. We have to be committed to belonging and to caring and to discipling. And in that, we are strengthened. We are encouraged. Where there was darkness and dangerous Legos, there is light and freedom and safety and security. Where there was hopelessness, there is hope. And where there was discouragement, there is encouragement and people who are going to hang on so tight to that rope with you. So for us in this vision series, we needed to define what discipling actually is in a way that you guys could hang on to it, that you could let it motivate you, that we could hang on to it. And so would you guys read this with me? Discipling, an intentional relationship with God and others that moves us along a life-giving path from isolation and spiritual infancy to kingdom community and spiritual maturity. Our lives so transformed that it attracts and invites others to a relationship with Jesus. If you go back to that first graphic, we're the bridge and there's Jesus in the community. And discipling is all about the walk from one side back to the other and bringing people with us. So what are we doing about that as a church? I mean, currently we're very intentional with our sermon series. A lot of thought goes into them. We do sermon-based study guides to make sure that in groups, the majority of our groups, we're digging into the thing that we have studied on Sunday so we can dig a little deeper, so we can wrestle it out, so we can jump on that rope and encourage one another and all the things that the scriptures talked about us doing. We have our reading plan to make sure that we're in the Word together, and we have our bridge builders groups that we encourage you to be part of, not to guilt you, to free you. Where are you in those areas? Where are you with your reading plan? Are you tuning in to the sermon series? When you miss one, not because y'all miss my voice, because that's probably a blessing, but the word that comes. When we're doing critical teachings, are you jumping in and catching up? Are you engaged in a group? Because there's a rope and people are clinging to it. And there's a lion on the other side seeking to devour. And you jump on that off that rope and go on your own? It's not looking good for you. Can we just be honest? Like somebody said that whoever runs the slowest, that you only got to be faster than the slowest person. When you're on the rope, nobody's got to be faster. You're on it together. But maybe you're the strong one. Maybe you are the rock solid Christian that has it all together and you don't struggle with anything and you can stand out there on your own. Then you really need to be on that rope, because there's a new Christian. There's a little wimpy kid standing there. Or there's somebody who's really strong in their faith, but they're tired. You know, when you do tug of war and sometimes you just got to adjust your grip. You just got to get your footing right, adjust your grip. Somebody needs you to stand in the gap and hold on for them so they can adjust. So they can keep standing. So they don't go face first into the mud. So who are you counting on, and who is counting on you? That's what we're doing so far. You know what? That's not a total intentional pathway. In the next 90 days, we are building out that pathway. We are building out what the discipleship pathway looks like. I want to take a minute. She doesn't know I'm doing this. Sorry. Amanda Adamson is going to be helping spearhead that. She's working side by side with me. Discipleship is her heart and her passion, and she is coming together with me so we can work out a structured pathway that'll include new believers class, that'll include a couple other things, that'll look at how we take the sermon series and where we augment with something else, all those things. But it's not just the two of us. It's the Bridge Builders leaders. And it is an army of ministerial students that we have in this congregation. By the way, I'm happy to tell you that we have 4 ministerial students that are interviewed with our board on Monday night, that our board unanimously voted to move along in that process and enter them into that process. They join 4 others. Woohoo! That's good stuff. And I think what I want to say more than anything is that you're not alone. Some of you are beginning the process of taking your faith from a Sunday event on your calendar and your personal time with Jesus into Christian community. And I want to tell you, one, don't be intimidated by this word. It's life-giving. And God is with you. And your community is with you. And together we don't fall down. Together we stand up. Together we're encouraged, and together we're strengthened. Whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop is right. So what I'd like to do is Pastor Rick stands up.
Pause for a second.
Yep.
So this came on to me a little while ago. We're talking about community. We're talking about how much we need each other. We're talking about the importance of standing shoulder to shoulder. And this is the image I got. Sometimes somebody is needing a hand. And sometimes I'm standing in the gap. Sometimes I'm standing in the gap. And sometimes I'm getting worn out. And I'm getting tired. And I'm getting exhausted. And I'm starting to lose my grip. Come on. And I need somebody else to stand in the gap with us. Mm-hmm. I need somebody else to stand in the gap. And then we need more and more, because that's what community is. That's right. What we do. That's what we do. Thank you. Sorry about that. Okay. So I totally forgot what I was coming up here for besides that.
Okay, because I'm holding onto the rope with you, and I got
good,
you.
Good. So. Hey, listen, pop quiz, multiple choice question, and then we can proceed, okay? Because earlier you said, where do I need Jesus in my life? Who said that?
Everywhere.
Everybody did. Okay, you answered it. I didn't even have to do the multiple choices. So important. Everywhere.
So important.
Okay.
Everywhere. So as we pray as a congregation, you know, we've been kind of modeling where God is taking us with how we close out every Sunday in prayer. And last week we prayed over our care team, our care ministry folks. And today I'd like us to pray over and for those folks who are part of this discipleship pathway and part of standing in the gap and helping to lead. And so Amanda and Bridge Builders group leaders and ministry students, would you just stand up? Pastor Jessica, what are you doing? Stand up. Ministry students, all over, stand up. All right.
We're going to pray over you guys.
We're going to pray over them, and then we're going to pray over the congregation. And you just extend hands out. And
so Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful. We're so thankful that you stir hearts. You stir hearts and you cause us, you urge us, you encourage us to step into what you have for us. And so God, as each one of the ministry students, each one of the people that are standing up into a more leadership role, Lord, I just ask that you would guide. And as we pray and as they're praying and they're more and more in the Word, would you give discernment and wisdom, Lord, as they step into these roles? Show them where you would have them stepping in, where you would have them going in relation to this community we call Indian Head, that we call family, that we call home. God, I ask that you bless them, that you encourage them, that you grow them and strengthen them. And Lord, I just thank you for your word today, discipling. I thank you that there was a couple of words at the beginning that talked about admonishing and training. And sometimes we get different perspectives or views of that word admonish. You teach us to correct and discipline in love. Truth in love. Mm-hmm. Sometimes truth is difficult. Sometimes truth is hard. But Lord, I just ask that you help each of us. Help each of us be better husbands, better wives, better friends, better leaders, better, 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 Lord. Would you grow us to be more like you?
And God, as we just step into what you have next for us, we do that, God, with open arms, with freedom. May we not hold back. Holy Spirit, may you show us anywhere where we are holding back from you, where we're hiding something, where you just want your goodness and your light to flood that. And I just very specifically want to speak against that fear of getting plugged into community, because we've all been hurt. And there's no denying or diminishing that at times in our lives, that there's been hurt, and a lot of it's been church hurt at times. But God, you've established a safe place here. And so I just pray that you would, that person that's holding back, that you would give them the courage to step in, to experience healing in community. Help us to prioritize accordingly, so that we are in the world, yes, but not of the world. We're anchored to you. And just help us to take those next steps so that we can continue to walk and live in the fact that we are seen, known, and loved by you, and continue to show our community that they are seen, known, and loved by you and by us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And amen and amen.